And, but on the other hand, because I had to do from the beginning on the financing on my own, I had to go out for sponsoring or investments and everything, and it never changed till today. There was not like my super rich father paying it because he's not rich, and there was nobody, no studio or something hiring me for something. It's not that I walked around and tried to get hired, but the thing is, the good thing and the bad thing is that I had to do all that work the whole time, and all the pressure is on me to recoup the money because I have so many different money channels and investors to make happy. But at the same time, I'm independent because of it. So it's a result of hard work, but also it made it possible that nobody can tell me how I should finish the movie, or I like to compromise or something. I can do in the end. I have the final cut, but I'm listened to the distributors. And for example, in Postal, the version what is touring right now in the festivals, we cut it 7 minutes out of that version, and the theatrical version of Postal in US will be 7 minutes shorter, and the DVD director's cut will be 20 minutes longer as the theatrical version. But I don't think that I cut it the 7 minutes out to make it more harmless or something. It's actually, it plays better. It's faster now, the movie, and I even like the shorter version more as the 107 minutes version I had cut it. And so I'm listening to people, and I look into tests. Look what the audience, how they react and what they think about it, and then I go back to the cut.
Yeah, very, very few directors actually end up making shorter director's cuts, which is kind of funny. So that's interesting that you're making your films tighter and shorter, and I know the Coen brothers did it with Blood Simple, but very few people will actually go there, which that's nice that you do that.
It's different to make it better, basically.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about is, really, you've got a huge slate of movies, and I don't know that people realize how many films you're actually right in the middle of working on right now. Could you talk about a few of the others that you have in development? Like, In the Name of the King, a dungeon siege tale, I think, would be interesting to a lot of readers.
Yeah, we have... this is the long biggest movie I ever did, Dungeon Siege, In the Name of the King, and we shot 4 months. It's a $60 million movie without the studio overhead. It's like almost a $100 million movie. And with all the stars, Jason Statham and Ray Liotta, Burt Reynolds, Lily Sobieski, Claire Fulani, Ron Perlman, and it's a great cast. But it took 1.5 years with the post-production. And the problem was that we had like 1,300 CGI shots to do. And so a lot of CGI. And we didn't have the money like a Pirates of the Caribbean or something.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to find the right vendors, and we had like 15, 16 CGI companies working on the CGI, and the problem was that you got like from like 7 or 8 vendors great shots, like King Kong kind of Pirates of the Caribbean quality, and then seven or eight other vendors, you got like Hallmark quality, and we couldn't live with that. So we had to spend way more money. It was the only movie I ever went over budget, $4 million over budget, but only in post-production. And we had to finish that movie properly, that CGI is top. And this is what we did. So this was the reason it took so long. And then, with a movie like this, you cannot close so easy a North American, like a theatrical deal, or a deal what makes sense also for the investors. And so I closed in Europe with Fox, a deal, and 20th Century Fox is releasing it in November 29, and in U.S. we're going out in January, and there's a little different setup where Vivendi Universal is doing the advertising and the theatrical release, and Fox is handling DVD and TV, and it was the best structure I could find to set it all up, basically, so that my investors actually have a chance to get some money back.
Has the film market changed recently or over the last 5 years? Because I've noticed from talking to a lot of other people that it really seems to have changed. just
absolutely. And I think the market right now, there was like in Cannes this year, was an over, an overflow on movies. And there were too many movies. And in Europe, it's even more crazy, because in Europe, you have that 5-6 releases from American movies every week, but then you have also local products. So you have like in France or in Germany or in Italy, you have like 10 movies every weekend getting theatrical out. And in US, you see also, if you really go back, the last 12, 16 months, you see huge movies. They tank. And like, I know that the Blood Rain did only $2.5 million box office on 800 screens, and it's counted as a bomb, even if we got not the screens we wanted and whatever. But if you see after Blood Rain, now the 16 months after Blood Rain, you have tons of movies. They made only $1 or $2 million box office with big stars and with the got big releases, and nobody went to see it. And I think this is a big problem, that the P&A and the theatrical audience, in a way, P&A is very expensive, and the theatrical audience cannot really focus on the movies anymore. This is the reason that only the big franchises, like whatever, Rush Hour 3 and Bourne 3 and Die Hard 4, so these are the movies they perform, but the question is also there, did they really perform? If they spend $150 million to make the movies and $60 or $70 million to release the movies, is then a $100 million box office a big success? There's a question mark, so I don't know. So if you have a $20 million movie and you like War with Jason Statham and Jet Li, for example, it's like a whatever, $20 million, $25 million movie, it gets out with $20, $25 million P&A, and then basically they make $20 million box office. What is not even recouping the advertising cost. So this is kind of strange what's going on in the market. And the horror genre right now is like, it went a little down. Halloween now from Rob Zombie helps. Saw 4 will hopefully help. But right now with Captivity, with Skinwalkers, with a lot of horror movies in the back, for example, a lot of horror movies, and even not so bad horror movies, bombed. And now international to sell a horror movie is not so easy right now anymore.
Yeah, and the market's been kind of changing quite a bit, really, just across the internationally and nationally, it seems like.
And also, like, the horror on the direct-to-DVD titles, like a lot of direct-to-DVD titles in the horror genre, you could sell to Germany for like 50 grand, 40 grand in the last few years. And now, since 12 months, I know all the big DVD players in Germany, they say we don't buy it anymore. Because we don't even recoup the dubbing. Like the 10 grand, 15,000 bucks or whatever to do the dubbing in German. And they said we don't even recover our costs and the dubbing. We don't want to buy it anymore. So there are a lot of problems for independent product also, for non-theatrical product, what goes only out on DVD. I distribute also movies, and I distribute Olaf Ittenbach with Garden of Love, with Beyond the Limits, or now with Dark Divorce's new movie, or Timo Rose with Barricade. So I have like various like more slasher movies or splatter movies, and it's right now almost impossible to sell that movie. Mm-hmm. It's like you're not getting anything. You get like whatever for America, you get $20,000.
Yeah, that's not good.
No.
There are probably a lot of people out there that are listening that don't realize that, you know, you've had some people bash your films, and actually you went from having people be really positive about your earlier films, and then you've had to deal with that. And I really thought it was interesting that you had a boxing match with some of these people. I thought that took a lot of guts.
What happened to me with that internet guys was, I don't think that there was another director who got like this kind of backlash and this kind of uncontrolled internet critics flipping completely out on me, personal damaging, voting for movies they never saw, And it was like, it's still like a trend. It's like trendy to bash Ball, even if people didn't saw the movies. And I think the boxing match was a reaction to this, like, step out of anonymous kind of online name and meet me in person. And if you want to kill me, yeah. So I said, like, then do it physically. Let's meet in the ring, but show your face. Because a lot of people, like, in the first application of the boxing fights, I put it really a name list in of all that IMDb and other websites kind of nicknames and code names they have, like Hellraiser, Hellhouse, whatever, right? So different names. And I said, look, if you are so dishonest, and you write like you would make better movies as I, and there are 150,000 better directors out, and all the other movies are way better as Ball's movies. So show your face. And the funny thing is that from all that names I listed in the first application, mm-hmm. nobody came.
Yeah, that's not a real surprise. A lot of people hide behind internet and other ways, and they can trash a film from a distance and not deal with the repercussions.
Right, exactly.
Yes, and the other thing I noticed is that you're actually recutting House of the Dead. I thought that was great that you embraced some of the criticisms and, you know, you tried to turn it into a positive thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think also that a lot of the negative reviews made it that I spent way more time and money or so to develop the project. And I think already Blood Rain, what got them, this was really the point with the boxing match, is that I think with Blood Rain, with the writer Gwyneth Turner, she wrote American Psycho, with all that stuff and the way we did it, I think Blood Rain was in a way better as House of the Dead or Alone in the Dark, but it got exactly the same reviews. And so I thought, like, this is unfair. This was the reason for then also where I said, like, so now I'm really fed up. But the other way around, because of the reviews, I think I was, for example, in 2 weeks is Alone in the Dark, the director's cut coming out, and I cut it 7 or 8 minutes out of Alone in the Dark, and I put like 10 new minutes in, and I think this director's cut is kind of interesting, and it's a different approach. I went out there. There is no sex between Slater and Tara Reid. They only know each other. It's not like they are really together. There is a lot of stuff where I changed. And I put a lot of more like creepy suspense stuff in. I think it works better now. And I'm curious to see what people think about this version. And with House of the Dead, I did also a totally new version, new cut, what gets out in January. And at the same time, I think I spent way more time and in like Far Cry, we developed 2.5 years that script. And what we shot this summer. And In the Name of the King was the script where we got very, very good reviews, like reader reports from CAA, ICM, William Morris. This is the reason so many stars in Dungeon Siege and In the Name of the King, because everybody liked that script. And I don't think I would make that quality jump without getting that negative, like, feedback in my face.
So it pushed you to go a little further and work even harder then?
Yeah, absolutely. The thing I recognized after Alone in the Dark, I cannot keep going like this. It makes no sense. I spent so much time in raising the money, driving to dental medicine guys that they invest, and then in filming and finishing it and taking care of the distribution, that the story development suffered.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my fault, basically. And in the end, it's all my trolled as producer director, and I think from Blood Rain on I changed that. And in Dungeon Siege, now if people say, you know, you have so many movies coming out, it cannot be good, but the reality is I shot only one movie 2004. This was Blood Rain. I shot only one movie 2005. This was Dungeon Siege. And last year it was then crazy, but with Seed and Postal back to back, and then that I did Blood Rain 2 in the same year in winter. This was an additional movie what came on the plate. And so this was the point with what made it crazy last year, and now it looks like there is like an invasion of boy movies. But the reality is it took 2 years to get Dungeon Siege In the Name of the King out there. The whole production of In the Name of the King, I was focused 1.5 years only on that movie. And I think it is by far my biggest movie, and it is a very good movie. And with Postman Seat, I think I did 2 movies. I wrote both. I spent all the time last year to finish that movie, basically. And with Blood Rain 2, this was, let's say, an unnecessary thing in the year's end to do it because we were all so tired. But I put a lot into it in the way of, like, the last energy we had we put in that movie. And I think it is interesting to see a totally different Blood Rain movie, totally different approach, and like a vampire western. So from this point of view, I'm really happy with the result. But during we shot Blood 2, it was visible.
So it sounds like some of that transferred to the film, though, in a good way. Even though it was miserable, the darkness and some of the effect actually got into the film itself.
Absolutely. And I think this is like this kind of bitterness that what gets us through that movie, like that people in Deliverance in that city are like totally helpless and they have no courage to fight Billy the Kid and his gang, and then Blood Rain comes in with Pat Garrett and they're doing it. I think it plays out very good, and I'm in the end very happy with the result. Also, that Natasha Malte as the new Blood Rain, she is like kind of darker as Kristanna Loken, and in a way more twisted. And I'm really happy with the outcome, and I want to do Blood Rain 3 to finish up that trilogy. I want to do Blood Rain 3 in the Second World War then, with Blood Rain Warhammer.
You've done so many video game translations. Is there a franchise or a video game that's out there that you're looking into or have really actually always wanted to do that is in development?
Now, I was a big Silent Hill fan, but somebody else did the movie, and I liked the movie. It was really good. I'm a big Hitman fan, and there's a movie also coming out. I'm also a big Warcraft fan, but Warcraft is very similar to Dungeon Siege, and I don't think that I do another big fantasy epic like Dungeon Siege. So from this point of view, this is like not really coming up. And I like The Suffering, but it plays in a prison, and I did with Seed. Seed plays like half of the prison with death penalty and everything, so it's too similar also to see, so I will not proceed with this. But I have 2 new games I acquired, and Sabotage is a new game from Replay, what I want to make in a movie, and it's like a spy Second World War game, and it gets a lot of pre-press already, and I think with Sabotage I will be very lucky. And same was with Far Cry. Where I acquired Far Cry was before the movie came out. And look what happened. Far Cry is the biggest hit, the biggest game hit I have. And next year the next Far Cry comes out. And I think with Far Cry I have a really interesting franchise going. And we developed 2.5 years and we shot it. And I think it's like Die Hard on an Island kind of movie. And with a little horror twist with the genetically modified soldiers. So it's kind of not a creature movie, but little horror aspect in it. But we did it with a lot of dry humor also. And I think Sabotage is another game what will be a worldwide hit.
Yes. So was it difficult with all these video game translations to deliver something that fans would like, because they've already kind of got their own ideas in their mind of what their version of it would be? So was that a challenge for you at all?
Absolutely, and this is the biggest problem. And then you recognize after 2 or 3 years, you cannot win that battle. It's not working. Because the really hardcore video game fans, they all have their game and the story of the movie, basically, in their head. And you're not whatever you do, they will be not satisfied. And this is the thing, what it will not work. And so the thing is to focus, to make a movie based on a game in a way that the average gamer likes it, and the normal audience likes it. And the normal audience likes, they have no clue that it's based on a video game. I think this is the real goal. You cannot make, like, the real hardcore fan of House of the Dead happy. No matter what movie you do, they would be not happy. And this is the thing, like, you have to focus on making a movie with a real story and three acts and telling a story what everybody understands.
Patrick?
Yep.
Hi, sorry to interrupt. This is
sure.
Anna. We're actually running really low on time. We're
okay.
Over time, so if you can just wrap it up, that'd
yep.
be great.
We'll finalize it. Thanks for your time, Uwe. I appreciate it, and thanks.
Yeah, we can talk anytime again. Like in January, it's Dungeon Siege in the Name of the King coming out, and Seeds, and maybe we can do it again.
Okay, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Thank you.